Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's a breaking ball, hit well, right center field, up the alley, and that one is on its way. All right. It's gone, and Kyle Schwarber has matched that major league record. His 53rd home run of the season, his 22nd of the year against a left-handed pitcher. And the Phillies jump out to a 1-0 lead.
Well, Schwarber's done it a lot this year, 53. So he's got a shot.
Yeah.
At Ryan Howard's record. Now, it's unlikely because he's got to get 5 to tie, 6 to pass him, and he's got 11 games to go. And we don't know that he'll play in all 11.
Oh, but I think he will. He hasn't missed a game yet, and apparently 162 matters to him from what I've heard. So, like, I think he's going to play all of them.
Well, you know my thing. Play them all, James.
Yeah.
Play them through.
Look, you've won me over, like we talked about. The bullpen especially. Like, I need the bullpen to get work over that five-day stretch. I just need it.
And they are going to get the bye. I mean, they are 5.5 games up on the Dodgers. So you can pretty much put that in your back pocket. And now it's just a matter of really two things. One is, do the Phillies pass the Brewers? Which they probably won't, but might. And the other is the jockeying beneath them for, you know, 3-6, 4-5. Who are those teams? I mean, you know who some of the teams are going to be. But, like, do the Mets make the playoffs or not?
Can you imagine if they did?
I know. I know.
Steve Cohen. He should probably stay off Twitter.
Steve Cohen, that guy. So a lot of good stuff with the Phils. Obviously, we look forward to playoff baseball, which will begin, I think it's the Saturday?
So the,
after for, the, you know,
it's October 4th, yeah.
Well, I'm saying for the Phillies.
For the Phillies. Yeah. It would be October 4th. You're correct. It would be the Saturday after, like, the wild card series. It's the Saturday, October 4th. Yeah. Then they would be off, and then they would play the 6th. So the first two home games, assuming they get the 2 seed or the 1 seed, would be the 4th and the 6th.
Get out of here. There's a day off after game 1?
Yeah, because the all 4 playoff games are on day 1, Saturday, and then the AL games are Sunday. NL games Monday. Huh. I know. Lame.
All right. Well.
But that's the reason they can do the pitching thing.
Right.
That's the reason they can wait till
That's why they only need 3 regular starters.
And it changes every
first,
year. Last year, the NL didn't have the day. Yep. So each year it goes back and forth.
All right. Phone calls and everything today. Seth in media right now. Seth, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be back on the air with you guys.
What's up, Seth?
So, yeah, man. First of all, I've been saying this since July. The Phillies are going to win the World Series. I am as confident in that as I was the week before the Eagles decimated the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Why? Give me the why, because I don't feel that. Why?
I'll tell you exactly why. It has to do a big. Now I'm not gonna front like losing Zach Wheeler didn't hurt, but the rest of that pitching staff has absolutely picked it up. But the biggest part is the same reason. The reason why they're going to win is the reason why they lost the last couple of years. This team and this core group of guys, they need to swing their way into the damn playoffs. That's how they do it. They swing their way in. They can't be 20 games ahead midway through the season and coast, right? They got to work for it. They got to have teams jumping at their heels to try and push them.
You know, I don't know about that. Listen, Seth, maybe, but let me just give you a better case. Stott and Marsh might have saved their place on the team next year. I mean, you want to talk about people being on their heels? You go back to July, Stott and Marsh, it was like, these guys might not be on the team next year. And maybe they hit their way out of it based on the fire they felt from that impetus. But go ahead, keep going.
Well, you're proving my point, is whether or not they're playing, so they may have saved their spot on the team last year. We're talking about this year. And in order for that to happen, you remember what happened with the 08 Phillies? The bottom of the order was lighting it up. The core group of these guys are going to do what they're going to do, right? They're going to hit, but I think they really do. Like Harper and I mean, Schwarber's been on fire, but you know, Turner and stuff like these guys, they feed off of when the bottom half of the order is stepping up and doing their part. You know, like they're perfectly capable of carrying a team, but when everybody's hitting, you know, it's just like they say the ballpark, everybody hits.
Yeah.
That's what this team means. That's what they're doing. And when the bottom half of the order hits, when you get guys like Bader that comes in, I mean, he's basically the 2.0 version of Jason Worth. You know, like these are the guys that put them over the top. And I've had this discussion on air with Rube and you guys before. This what makes a really good team great is when all of the small pieces of this team step up and do the small things they're supposed to do, like getting on base, like driving in runs when they're on. You know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean.
And that's the intangible. Yeah. I started seeing that like earlier, like midway through the season, and I started having this overwhelming feeling. I was like, if they keep playing like this, man, they are going to play themselves deep in the playoffs.
Listen, yeah. Seth,
there's symbiotic stuff going on with these these outfielders.
Yeah, but Seth, there's something key here.
They're vibing off of one another and raising one another's level of play.
All right, I'm with all of that. He also had a big word, if they continue, .. Like, will it really shock anyone if Marsh and Stott stop hitting? Won't for me. And I'm not. This isn't me being a pessimist.
I do believe that in Stott's case, it was a mechanical thing that has been corrected.
Well, I hope you're right. Let's listen to Bryson Stott post game in the locker room. I mean, I'm pumped up. I'm not trying to throw water on the situation. I'm just saying we'll see if these guys all hit.
Is it
you're
throwing on them then? If it's not water, is it?
It's
lemonade.
Blanket.
You know,
a blanket. Hey, go to sleep, guys. Take a nap. That's what I need. Right. I need a nap. Let's listen to Bryson Stott. He certainly did not need a nap. These guys were celebrating hard last night. After the game, Bryson Stott with Tom McCarthy.
Bryson, obviously, this is kind of old hat, but it's always cool to see. Give me an idea of what that feeling was like when Bryce made that last out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long season, and it's just it doesn't get old, for sure.
That pop-up we were just talking about, did your heart sort of drop a little bit when you went back and tried to pick that one off the air?
Not drop, maybe stop, but not drop.
Give me an idea of what celebrating's like, what this is like from a baseball player's standpoint, just to have this kind of celebration.
Yeah, I mean, you go to spring training and you look at the schedule and just game after game, so it's a long year, and anytime you get into the postseason, it's an amazing feeling, and winning the division is great, and we know there's more work to do, and this group of guys is amazing, and been together for a little bit now, so we know how to celebrate with each other and who gets it going. So
I will say this. I thought it was cool that Rob pointed out guys that were left behind, Jose Alvarado, Trey Turner, Romano. I know Alec Boehm is here, but you guys have had so many contributions this year from everybody.
Yeah, Wheels too. Just having those guys go down, and obviously you lose an ace, and there's one Zach Wheeler in the world, so just everyone pick it up a little bit, and then Trey goes down, and Mano goes down, and Boehm, and just people coming up and picking up where they left off. They got sent down, or Weston's having good at-bats, and just a 1-9, and just take it one pitch at a time.
All right. That funnel was pretty funny, too. Bryson Stott, guys.
All right, Bryson Stott with Tom McCarthy, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Let me end good
interviews.
The funnel
was pretty good, he said at the end there.
Let me ask you guys a question. Fourth choice, tough one. Phillies or Eagles win the championship in the next, 5 months, one of them. Preference.
Phillies.
What do you mean, preference?
Yeah, so you go Phillies.
It's definitely Phillies for me, too.
Okay, two, John. Phillies or Eagles, you get one of them.
Man, this is
Two in a row for the town. One is two in a row for the team,
and two in 1 year for the town.
And well, that's what I mean when I say yeah. I mean technically not two in a row.
It's two in a row for one team or two in a year is what the choice is.
Because the Sixers and Flyers are in there, but you know what I'm saying.
I love the unprecedentedness of going back to back for the Eagles.
So they're both unprecedented in different ways. Because we've never
in
had,
Philly they in are Philly. Yeah not in yeah. other towns obviously
we've never
not
had
in Boston
two, we've
yeah
never
in Boston
had two
they've
in
done
year.
Both those things
here's
yeah.
the thing I view last year's Eagles as last year like while they won it in February I kind of view it as it's 2020 we don't
well
say
they would win in 2026 if they won. So the point being that it would be yes I agree with you
it's
a different year.
I think I would lean Phillies. I think I lean Phillies just because this group hasn't done it.
Yeah,
so I
yeah,
think
that's
it would
the
be,
biggest part for me is Bryce Harper and those guys winning a title.
But two in a row by a team, happened in 50 years in Philly.
Just to see this Citizens Bank Park thing go through a win. You know, we've had so much fun down at that ballpark the last three playoffs, and this one we will too. Like, to see that end in happiness, that whole experience, I think would be a really neat thing.
Here's
and
the
then
other
as
thing.
Soon as the Phillies win it, I'll change my mind and put the Eagles
I
in.
I know, I get it. Well, Ray, you know what the other thing is? Yeah. Is if the Phillies do not win the World Series, and they probably won't because 12 teams make
will
the playoffs.
You please stop
because 12
that?
Teams make
please
the playoffs.
It's right. It's correct.
Here's the, but here's the
other
But
Rhea,
you know next year,
yes.
If they don't win it this year, April through September, we're going to have 5 million complainers again during the regular season every time they lose two in a row.
I think it will depend on where they go out.
How far?
Yeah, how far they go. If they go out in the first round, oh, people, yeah, you can forget about it.
Yeah, that
Well, the funny thing is the Eagles did win the Super Bowl, and we got people complaining two games into the Eagles season.
I'm one of them.
That's my point. So maybe if they did win the World Series, we'd still get the calls. Who knows?
You know what my words are? Pick it up, Jalen. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Delaware. Mark, good morning.
Joe, how you doing? If there's an option C, I pick both. I think that's pretty obvious.
Sure.
Listen, the show is fabulous. I told James I don't get a chance to call in much. I'm driving that truck, but I listen every day. And you are the best radio host in the history of radio shows, period, point blank. You entertain me. You make me laugh. You make me cry. And sometimes I want to come over there and punch you in the face.
Wait a minute. Are you talking to me or Richie? No, that's a serious question. Punch in the face. There's no reason to punch me in the face. Why would you punch me in the face?
I've got a list. How much time you got?
Hey Mark, give me the best Redford movie. He passed away earlier today. Best Robert Redford.
You know what? It's probably not going to win, but I particularly love Spy Game, and I don't know if a lot of people saw it, but it is.
It's my favorite.
Rhea said that too.
Yep, it's my favorite.
Good job, Rhea.
Great minds think alike.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. What do you got, Mark?
Well, you're the great one. My mind's probably all over the place. Anyway, I want to talk about Nick Sirianni. Congratulations to the Phillies, obviously.
Yeah.
I owe an apology to Nick because a couple of years ago, I left a Times Journal message and I told him to go back to Uniondale.
Mm.
I believe he is not just a good coach. I believe he is a great coach.
I do, too. Yep.
And a lot of people, you know, a lot of my friends text me on a weekly, I don't like this guy. All he does is, you know, try and pump up his hand, pump up his fist. He's a great coach for one main reason. All the things we don't know about that he does during the week. He keeps this giant Kelly Green, Midnight Green ball of yarn together. That's what he does.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's with his players at this at an unprecedented level that I don't think any of us can really understand. He gets through to them where other coaches around this league, we know they don't. When you watch the way these players play for him, the way they sacrifice for him, the way they pursue, the way they tackle, the way they do the things that hurt, you know, like the things that suck. They do them, and it's because they're committed to one another, and they're committed to this guy who's at the top that they all love.
You know,
Nick Sirianni.
Mark, here are the two words I'd put to it, and maybe communication should be one of the two, but it's not for me. I would say the hallmarks of him are details and culture. I think he's really exceptional at both.
And I think the A.J. Brown thing is probably the most the greatest example. The guy wants the ball, and I want my receiver to want the ball. I want my receiver to have a little diva aspect because he is a great receiver. What did he miss, four games last year, three games, and still had 1,000 yards? Bottom line is if you watch A.J. play on every play, he never dogs it. And that means the coach behind the scenes is pulling him aside basically and saying, I'd love to get you the ball 11 times, but you got to block on every play.
Yep.
So I just want to apologize to Nick again and tell him I think he is a great coach, and I hope that this is as long a tenure, if not longer, than when Andy was here. And Andy was a great coach, too. But the bottom line is this guy is the guy that keeps it together behind the scenes. Also, and I'll leave you with this because I know you got other callers, great leaders know when to step back. And a few years ago, he said, I'm not the play caller. And I think we all were like scratching our heads saying, what is this guy doing?
He's not that was the first year.
No.
Yeah, it was about six or seven games in. I agree.
There's no way we can construe that as a real positive.
I disagree. Totally disagree.
John, and I'll tell you why.
At least it wasn't a disaster.
Well, it wasn't a disaster, but a great leader recognizes their own downfalls. And when you say, I'm going to hand the reins over to somebody else, like I did after year one in my marriage because I was controlling the checkbook. I told Ray Romano I had two checkbooks. I handed the reins over to my wife and said, I'm not the leader of this household. You are. So we're going to leave you with this.
Look at you,
we're
Mark.
Down here. Down
smart
here
move,
in
Mark.
Life.
Well, Mark, when I'm the president.
E-L-E-S-E-V-O.
All right, Mark. Good work, buddy.
There is a problem, though, with it. I mean, even though it was very smart of him to do because it wasn't working.
Sure.
You wind up in the situation where you got a new play call every single
Look,
year.
Look, ideally,
that
he'd be better at it.
That is the root of the offensive inconsistency.
But both things can be.
The fact that we have to go back and start from scratch year after year.
They had to do it with Kellen and they won the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But I'm saying it is.
No, there's a positive and a negative.
Yeah.
The negative is very clear. You have to start over all the time.
You need to find somebody as old as Vic Fangio.
I agree.
pretty much.
Although, he seems, I think he's old, like not as old as I think he is.
I agree.
66, I think he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just one of those guys.
It's the thing, though. Coaching is really a young man's game. I mean, we saw it with Belichick, you know, Belichick out of the league at 72. Like, it's rare. You don't, like, there's no coaches over 70. None.
Well, Pete Carroll is.
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
Oh, I forgot Pete Carroll came back. Yeah. There were none. Pete Carroll came back. But, like, the point is, it's rare. Like, it's a young man's game.
It's going to be a woman's
Pete
game
Carroll
at some point.
Still a
young
woman.
You're right. I'm saying a young person's
game. Hey, did you guys see the story about 2 weeks ago? Dawn Staley said she would have taken the next job.
Yep. Really?
She came out publicly. She said she would have taken it.
Notice she didn't say she'd take the Sixers job.
I think she would take
well, the
that
job's
too.
Not there, maybe, you know?
No, but I thought that was great. She said she would have taken
Knicks,
it.
What I'm saying is the Knicks team is more like a team that she would rather coach than the Sixers team.
I hear you. And she
I mean,
even
outside of Tyrese Maxey, who sure. anybody.
Well,
could
I'm excited for the guards. I mean, but they're not going to lead them anywhere anytime soon. You know, it's just too far away for Edgecombe, Maxey, and McCain. But it's a good starting group of guards. I mean, there's a lot of teams in basketball that would like to have those three guards. And you know, John, if you remember, we had a poll a couple months ago when they drafted Edgecombe, who's going to have the best career?
Mm-hmm.
You can make a case for all three of them. I mean, Edgecombe's the highest pick by far. He's the third pick in the draft. McCain had the best rookie year of the two that have played so far. When I say rookie year, in his like 25, 30 games, whatever it was. And then obviously Maxey has achieved the most so far. So,
yeah.
But they need help in the front. They need the big guy. They need the big guy in a bad way. All right, 215-592-9494. James, give me the date. When do we find out if Joel Embiid is going to be like, you know.
So what's the season start now? Did they move back? Is it like November, early November? It used to be like Halloween. I feel like it's like early November. I will say we'll find out like October 5th.
And it's going to be another one of those he's not ready, right?
Yeah, probably. Right. No, I think they're putting videos out. And
yeah,
stuff.
I think you were the day you were sick last week was the day that they put out videos.
I mean,
no brace.
It's like Ben Simmons style.
Doing it again.
We're doing shots.
Well, here's the problem though, and seriously, all jokes aside, because we're joking a little bit about the video stuff and all that.
But it's not funny.
It's
at
not
all.
Funny.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. He might be able to play, but not be great anymore. You know, not
totally.
Be exceptional. Because, guys, when he played last year, he was not elite. He was not elite. He played, but he was not elite. And so there's a difference between, because Grant Hill and Anthony Hardaway played for another 10 years after their injuries, but they just weren't great anymore. So, you know, number one is, can he play? Number two is, can he play at an elite level? Well, we're going to know in the next couple months. Joe to Cameron Generacy, 215-592. Time's yours and more up ahead. Next on 94 WIP. Let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You know, they're getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you will not want to miss, where new customers can bet just $5. And with that $5 bet, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. It's an incredible, and I would say, you know, ridiculously unique opportunity. I mean, you bet five. Tell me where you can go down the street, bet $5, and if you win, you get an extra $300. You kidding me? That's what you get with FanDuel.com/hammer. FanDuel.com/hammer for new customers. That first bet, $5 bet, you win it, but you also get $300 in bonus bets. Awesome at FanDuel.com/hammer. You can look ahead to Philly and Los Angeles in Week 3 football. Obviously, all the college football, all the other pro football games, all available for you at FanDuel.com/hammer.
Two balls, two strikes, bases loaded, two outs, the pitch. Swinging a bouncer to first. Harper gloves it, takes it himself, and the Phillies take the National League East Division crown. It's their second straight divisional crown as the Phillies come running out of the dugout and share hugs on the pitcher's mound at Dodgers Stadium as the Phillies have clinched the National League East.
Well, Phil's got that done last night. Well done. What a unique song.
So good.
Right? Good stuff. Hope you're all having a good start to your Tuesday. Phils are alive for October. Hopefully they go all the way this year. We shall see. Rob Thompson has been one of the leaders, obviously. He addressed his squad after the game. We're going to get to that audio in a moment. But first, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more. In a 2026 Armin Chevy Trailblazer, starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. John, a lot of talk today about A.J. Brown, whether he should be frustrated or not, whether you would be if you were him, all that sort of stuff. The question is, if you were A.J. Brown, would you be frustrated not getting the ball more with a 2-0 record? John, how do you think people voted?
Jeez. Yeah, probably 79% say yes, and
53 say yes.
Whoa. What?
I would be very frustrated.
What on earth?
People
are lying?
Well, people
are
care about winning. Falsely. Winning comes first. It's very simple.
Look, you can,
but it's not the only.
I guarantee.
But again, if you have to choose between the
also,
two, you choose winning.
No, but you don't have to choose between the
I
two.
I care about winning also, but I also, I mean, I'm a competitor. If I'm A.J. Brown,
but you do
I,
have,
I
in this case,
win.
You do have to choose. Because if you win the game, you don't be frustrated because you won.
Not just the, like, I want to win time and time again in everything that I do. That means I go out and I beat the guy who's covering me. I get open every single play. If that's happening.
Yeah, and you catch the ball.
Yeah, I expect to get the ball thrown my way every once in a while, and it doesn't seem like that's happening as much as I would want it to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I'd be extremely frustrated.
I don't know why people can't. It's okay to say.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not. The offense right now needs to be better. I think this team would say that themselves.
Well, Nick
it's
basically
okay to
said
say
it.
That.
We need to create Nick, more explosive
that's
plays.
Nick
fine.
Also said that AJ's happy and to not worry about it, and that what's going on inside that building is different than what we're talking about outside the building.
I don't know that
AJ.
He said AJ's happy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I heard those words.
No, but he said AJ does what the team needs him to do.
Listen, thank God. Thank God A.J. Brown is not Terrell Owens.
Yeah, I don't worry about
because
him.
Because if he was, that would be a problem.
How he blocks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is if he had any kind of, he'd be like, well, what am I going to block for this guy? Yeah. I'm not getting it. He right. doesn't do that. But, I think the offense works better when you use one of the top five guys at his position more.
I mean, I agree 1,000,000%. And by the way, pretty similar for Devontae also. He's probably top, 15, 18.
I feel confident.
He's underutilized.
Well, that's the thing. But I also, he was utilized in this game, specifically in the zero blitz situation. Right. The two times that we saw it from Spagnuolo, meaning they went all out. Devontae was the wide receiver that our quarterback, that Jalen, put the ball up for and gave a chance in that zero blitz situation. Yeah. Why was it not AJ? Was AJ's matchup worse in that situation?
Why? I don't know.
Was he double covered in those situations? And, we know that Devontae was singled.
Yeah.
We know that he was by himself out there. So it was a smart read on that play.
Yeah. I mean, it's also the natural way, Jalen Hurts had very little time on that play. And so he's already sort of facing that direction, I guess, a little bit as a right-handed thrower.
But
drops
here's
back.
The thing. The trick is you have very little time, but know going in that you're going to have very little time. Yeah. You know based on the look that it's a zero blitz and you're going to have to make a choice.
Right.
To choose which side you're going to go to, which side do you like. Okay, boom.
I just think they're both underutilized, obviously.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan and Princeton. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, and let's go Phillies! Yeah, champions.
You almost went Austin Powers, but you kind of pulled it back.
Yeah,
I can put my pinky to my lips. I can do whatever you want here, but I'm thrilled that we have a winning baseball club in Philadelphia, and I'm more thrilled today because of our owner. I don't know if you guys have ever had a chance to chat with John Middleton. I assume someone has here and there. I'm just a fan. I'm not a radio personality. I'm just a guy. I have sat and had long conversations at the ballpark with John Middleton. And when I see him running out on the field after the team clinches the division, it shows culture from top to bottom. And I think as Philadelphians, we've got to be proud of our top two teams right now. You look at the culture of the Phillies, the culture of the Eagles, it's really something to behold. The camaraderie, the family nature of it. And after 4 years of having these guys together as a unit, I'm just about there to say this is the year. I'm not there yet. I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm real, real close at this point. Real close.
Well, look, I don't feel honestly much different than past years as they enter it. If anything, I probably feel honestly even worse than last year because of the Wheeler thing.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But they're playing so much better. Like last year, we tried to convince ourselves they were different than they were. But when you look back at it, it's like they just weren't a very good team for 3 months.
But here's what I knew going into last year. I was handing the ball to Zach Wheeler in game one. Like, I knew that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I don't have that this year. Now, Sanchez has been great, no doubt, but he's not Wheeler great. And so I feel a little tinged below last year. But look, they have a great shot. They're going to start in the second round of the playoffs. Like the Eagles in 2017, they're going to need to win three rounds, and hopefully they can do it.
You know what I remember is saying to myself how lucky we are that the last couple of years in any significant way. And here we are dealing with injuries and a team that is peaking at exactly the right time.
Well, that is good.
So I think the biggest wins come through adversity. And this team is getting together, and they are busting through adversity. And I feel real good about the bank in October.
Yeah.
See, the only negative point for me, you know, why did Topper have to call out Alvarado last night? I don't care that he's on the IL. This guy had the chance to screw up the team in the entire season.
It bothered me, too.
He's worthy of mention.
Yeah,
I felt the same way.
Go ahead.
Well, look, it's like you're mentioning Zach Wheeler and Jose Alvarado next to each other. Like, I get it. He's not there anymore. But, he's not there because it's his fault. It's his fault he's not there.
But they do like him.
He's a...
It's whatever. Like, I'm not like actually mad about it. Like, I moved past it very quickly. But hearing him go, the guys who aren't with us anymore, Zach Wheeler, Jose Alvarado.
I raised my eyebrows.
Yeah, it felt weird. It felt weird to me.
Romano in there, and he said his name wrong.
At least Romano didn't take steroids and get suspended for the playoffs because of it. Like, I it's weird.
They're called performance enhancers.
Sure, whatever.
You never know what type they are.
You're right. It just felt weird to me. I don't really care, but it felt weird.
All right, let's go back to the toast, and then we'll play the Rob Thompson interview afterwards. So first the toast as he addresses the team, and JT jumps in as he always does. Here's Rob Thompson last night.
Toughness, resiliency, how you stay after day after day, inning by inning. I mean, we've had all kinds of adversity this year with travel and rain delays and injuries, and you guys have fought right through it. So this is for all of you, all the staff, the guys that we've left behind, Wheeler, Alvarado, Trey, Romano, they couldn't be here. The guys that have come up from Lehigh Valley and helped us out. This is a great team effort, great team effort. Back-to-back National League East champions. That's too often, boys. So enjoy it. JT, how many we got left, buddy?
Whatever the hell it takes, Tom. Right.
Pretty good. They're fired up. And, of course, whatever the hell it takes is because they don't know if they're going to need to win 11 games in the postseason or 13. Looks like it'll be 11 as the Phillies are 5.5 up on the Dodgers, so they should get
the bye. Little shout-out to whatever it takes, dude.
Yeah, that's true. 93 Phillies, team video. I don't think JT had that in mind.
I don't either.
Let's get to Rob Thompson post-game, post-toast interview with Tom McCarthy on NBC Sports Philly. Here's Topper.
Rob, congratulations on this. I thought it was great. In the middle of your speech, you said, what a great ball game. It really was a good ball game, even though it was kind of gut-wrenching, too.
Yeah, it was. You know, and I think that type of winning that type of ball game really enhanced the enjoyment of winning the division. So it was great. These guys are celebrating accordingly.
Yeah, and I know you never want to make excuses. You guys had a really late night, obviously. Do you appreciate the grit that this club showed, and not only today, but just throughout the year?
They are tough. They are resilient. They come to play every day, and you can't ask for a better group. You really can't.
Now, for you, watching some of these guys step up, how big of a hit was Weston Wilson's home run? It kind of woke everybody up.
Yeah, it was huge. And, you know, since for the last 4 years, it seems like, you know, when we lose guys, other people step up. And I think that's kind of a mantra around here. And you know, it's just been wonderful. It really has.
And what a great tribute, you said, with Trey, Jose Alvarado, Romano, Zach Wheeler. These guys aren't forgetting that these guys are still in the forefront of their minds.
Yeah, they really are. And all the players that have come up from Lehigh, yes. You know, that's it takes a village to do this. And it's not just it's players, it's staff, it's everybody, and they got it done.
Does winning the division ever get old?
Oh, never. Never, never, never.
Thanks, Rob. We appreciate it. Rob Thompson, guys.
Yeah, it's Rob Thompson last night with Tom McCarthy, NBC Sports Philly.
Definitely his kind of music.
Yeah. I'll say this. I understand why the combination of you guys either gets annoyed, not that you're like bothered beyond belief, but annoyed or roll your eyes when you hear Romano's name or Alvarado's name. But I think with Rob Thompson being the leader in there, I think it's the right thing to
Romano
do.
Romano doesn't bother me.
Yeah, Romano doesn't bother me at all. It's just Alvarado.
Well, Romano bothered you a little
bit.
Yeah, I have
no problem. Yeah. He got hurt and he just didn't pitch well.
Yeah. Like,
Alvarado did something
knowingly hurt his team.
I understand.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
I understand. But he's still part of the team.
And annoying while being horrendous.
Romano, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, he was horrendous. He was horrible.
He angered me with his ineptitude.
I know. But Rob Thompson's the manager of all of them, and they all contribute in one way or the other. So I'm good with them all being said. All right, with that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Make sure you unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go, only from Xfinity Mobile. With the Birds 2-0 and the Phillies in the playoffs as division winners. Let's hit it with time share.
All I need is your love tonight. Whatever it takes, Topper! Let's go, Red October! I'm excited for this opportunity. Go, Phil!
That's pretty cool, man. That's a great way to kick off Time's Yours. I love
it. Kyle Schwarber or John Ritchie? Who has the better? Oh, yeah.
No, that was me.
Really, yeah.
I noticed it too when Schwarber said it earlier. I thought, yeah, but it was that.
Oh, that's not me. That's Joe.
Yeah, so, James, did you notice Schwarber's oh, yeah?
I heard it, yeah, a little bit.
It was similar.
Yeah,
it was good.
Similar.
Yep.
So, Carson's playing again. Just remember, from whence we came, and now we hurts.
Wow.
Hey, downer to camera. I mean, if you want to go ahead and be miserable on your own, that's fine, but don't rain on our parade. Sound like Eeyore. Phillies are going to be in the World Series. Oh, they probably will lose. Who'd rather have win than lose? Well, it doesn't matter. Neither one of them's going to win anyway. Time's yours.
Here's what I'll say.
Good call.
It's not a bad call, but I'll say this. You flip a coin three times in a row, you probably won't get heads three times in a row. Just going to say that.
For the first time since winning four straight NL East titles from 08 to 11, our Fightins are back-to-back NL East champs. So what if Duran gave up his second home run of this season? We got the job done in the 10th, and we won back in L.A. in 08.
Well, it's always nice when it's in L.A. because the Phillies and Dodgers have had so much history through the years. So I like it. I like it a lot. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
I still cannot believe when the Phillies and Dodgers had that sort of skirmish, and I think it was either the 08 or 09 playoffs, that Davey Lopes was a Philly and Larry Bowa was a Dodger.
I know, it was insane.
That was...
It really didn't make any sense.
Yes.
That's weird. Bizarro.
Especially because they were both involved opposite in the play in 77.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
By the way, Ray, I saw you laughing over there when I made
wasn't
the,
laughing at anything.
It the was coin a flip.
Ridiculous comment.
The coin flip. I'm just saying each series is a coin flip, and hopefully correct. I win the coin flip. And
yeah, sure.
So in high school, I created a thing where I rounded up a dollar from from 128 people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people gave more than one. But anyway, bottom line is I convinced everyone someone's going to win $128. All you got to do is win 7 straight coin flips.
Oh, God. People are dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that's what lunch break is for. So, field of 64.
So you ended up with $128 out of this?
No, I mean, someone won $128.
What point did you get beat up?
No, I mean, I'm a man of the people here. I wasn't taking anything. I wasn't taking anything off the top. I'm just
why
saying,
didn't you? This sounds foolish
because
by
I'm
you.
Because I'm not that kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
I'd be a bad bookie. I thought it was a creative idea. I mean, all you got to do is win, seven.
You know, most people eat
flips
it
in a row.
What's the farthest anyone got in a row?
7 in a row. Somebody won it.
Oh, so someone did win. It was 7. Yeah, somebody, oh, wow. I didn't realize someone won.
64 is 6, right? NCAA tournament, 6 games.
How long did it take?
Times it by 2, 128. I think we did it over a few lunch breaks. A couple days, if I remember.
Well, that was the point. I didn't think anyone could possibly win it.
No, we did
it. I thought that's what you were saying.
Well, someone's going to win 7 in a row. One person wins 7 in a row.
Oh, we're
and
confused.
You win
I think, you, I you think win what you meant is it's going to come up head 7 times
yes,
in a row.
No.
That's
so
what
we got
I thought
confused
you meant.
Here, dude. No,
few, yeah.
We were confused. Yeah. We thought you were saying that you were betting people, I'll bet you $1.
No.
And then you were just pocketing 100.
No,
that's
no,
why I was confused.
No.
That makes, all right.
That's why I asked if you were getting beat up.
No one got what you were saying.
Yeah. Instead of a field of 64, it's a field of 128.
Got it.
And somebody won $128. I was like, okay, there you go. All right, Phil's tonight.
Why were you doing that?
We're bored. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Take a cut at least. I mean, you're just organizing
play,
for everyone and hanging out?
Football with your
watching
friends.
Watching coin flips? Flip it again!
Dude, when you go to the prep, you don't go outside at
there's
lunchtime.
There's nowhere to...
There's no lunchtime outside. You're hunkered down. Hmm. Just saying. 17th and Girard. All right.
Can't wait for Clark to start swim club there.
It's a great, it's my spot.
But
wearing my prep shirt today. I'm just saying, we're not roaming the streets
during
lunch break.
I don't know where how he's getting home.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
He's not his driver's license.
He'll be all right. All right, everyone, have a great, great, great rest of the day. James, you fired up for playoff baseball.
I am, man. I told you, I said at the beginning of the show, I'll say it again. I know you feel differently because of the Wheeler thing.
What?
Even despite the Wheeler thing, this is the most confident I've been in one of these groups heading into the playoffs.
Okay.
At this time of the year, September 16th, I have not felt as good about a Phillies team as I do about this one.
I would probably say 23, and it's hard for me to remember exactly how I felt at the start of each, but I'd say after the 22 Magic Carpet ride, even though the Phils got smoked in the division in 23.
They were 13 games back. It's hard to feel as excited about that team as this one.
I still felt a lot with that crew. But anyway, they got a shot. They really do. Everyone, have a great rest of the day. Joe and Hugh, of course, they're up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.